Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 18. You have heard this passage before, so look for something new in it today. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, Lord, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down their altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There came a voice to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel today is from John 15, verses 8 through 17. Jesus tells us to abide in his love. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
I am sure most of you, if not all, have been using Wi-Fi. I believe that Wi-Fi is one of the best and most convenient inventions through modern technology and science. Wi-Fi is a wireless technology that uses radio waves to connect devices like phones, computers, and TVs to a local network and the internet without using physical cables. So, today, simply put, we can say that modern people cannot live without Wi-Fi. Does anyone know what Wi-Fi stands for? Interestingly, Wi-Fi does not stand for anything because it is not an acronym. It is a catch brand name created by a branding company to replace the confusing technical name IEEE802.11B. Have you ever wondered what these letters and numbers mean? This IEEE actually stands for Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. And this number was the initial standard. Here, 802 means February 1980. 11 indicates 11 megabits per second. And letter B means the second version of the standard. So, at that time, though those computer pioneers and expert engineers discussed, okay, this wireless technology called IEEE 802.11B is too long and sounds too boring, and they invented a new term. How about Wi-Fi? They all agreed. So, officially, it became Wi-Fi in 1999. Of course, as we speak, Wi-Fi is constantly and continually improving and getting faster and better. Newer Wi-Fi versions like Wi-Fi 6, 6E, and 7 became faster by using wider channels, cleaner frequency bands, and smarter data packing. Anyhow, my point here is that everyone today is connected to the internet via Wi-Fi technology everywhere universally. Probably I am one of the people who cannot live without Wi-Fi for communications, entertainment, information, and my ministry work as well. A couple weeks ago, one late night, I was working on my sermon for Sunday at home. I was doing a great deal of research and preparations in my HP notebook computer, this one. Then somehow I couldn't connect to the internet suddenly, so I rushed to check my home's AT&T internet modem / router right away. It was working okay, and my daughter's computer was okay, and my Samsung TV with built-in internet was working fine. So obviously, only my laptop computer had no connection problem. Its wireless adapter was not working. It was not detecting any Wi-Fi signal at all. Actually, this problem with this computer was not the first time. During the past 3 years, There have been a few times with the same issue. Somehow the wireless adapter was always unstable and unreliable. Did you know that our church has an amazing guy named Scott, so that our office staff members get ongoing assistance regarding computer, internet, phone system? This photo shows Scott helping me on my notebook in my church study. This was taken by accident by my notebook camera. Who would take this picture, right? Anyhow, Scott always helps me and the office staff all the time. However, that night, I couldn't call Scott. I mean, it was too late to contact him, even though it was an emergency situation for me. And suddenly, my memory kicked in. I remember when Scott had told me, "Pastor, next time if your wireless adapter is not working, use this external manual wireless adapter," and handed me a dongle, a nano USB receiver like this one. I almost forgot that I had it with me. So I found it and plugged it into my laptop. And behold, it started working like magic. Thank you, Scott. Yes, to be connected or not to be connected, that is the question, right? Or the crisis. We are living in 2026, and we are heavily, maybe too much, relying on advanced technologies, especially wireless technologies. Not to mention the rapid and unpredictable evolution of AI, artificial intelligence. Everyone and everything in this world is connected to computer technologies directly and indirectly. As I have mentioned before, one of the most amazing high tech today to me is wireless technologies. No more messy or bulky cables or wires, but wireless. You can still be connected to the internet and to many other communications and relationships. Amazing, isn't it? Speaking of connections, I'm not a scientist, an engineer, or an expert on the technology, but as an ordinary consumer, I learned and observed that there are five basic wireless technologies that are being used today everywhere. Number one, Wi-Fi, of course, wirelessly connects your computers, phones, and many other phone appliances and business gadgets and systems. Number two, Bluetooth, your wireless earphones, headphones, and other electronic devices, right? Number three, cellular networks, of course, your cell phone, right? For your talk, text, data in communications. And contactless payment system. You can simply tap your credit or debit card now, and no more slide, swipe, or insert of your credit or debit card. Number five, scanning technologies, airline boarding passes, or concert tickets with QR codes, barcodes on all kinds of products at the grocery stores, facial recognition technologies, for entry and security, and many, many other ways. Yes, these technology, wireless technologies are getting better, newer, and faster every day and every way. So, we are surrounded by so many technologies for connections and communications that could improve, supposed to improve, not only your personal life, but also everyone else, collectively and globally. The whole world is now pretty much connected with all kinds of international high-tech systems. So with all these ever-improving, ever-changing, and ever-convenient high-tech advancement devices, gadgets, and systems, we are supposed to be more efficient, more comfortable, and more connected in our everyday life. However, if and when connections are down, lost due to errors, failures, or any other glitches, or even not knowing the correct password, everything would become useless and disconnected. It's like your cell phone with 0% battery power. Is that? Imagine your car is a nice new car, but what if either the battery is dead or out of gas? Of course, it is dead, not moving at all. It would be useless. Just as your car will not move because of the failure to connect to any power source, your body, your mind, and your spirit must be connected properly and securely to the power source. Sustaining connections in your life is so crucial and so essential. The word sustain simply means keep going and keep going. Even though we might have to face any disruptions or failures on the way, we are mandated to sustain our life journey. We are Christians. Just as the name Christian claims, we are all connected to Christ. Especially fruitful leaders and fruitful congregations are called to stay connected to the true vine. Yes, we remember the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So this morning, my sermon, Sustaining Fruitful Leadership, is finally part 3 of 3. So far, under this title, we have shared my 2 insight points. I hope you remember this point. First, embrace your human vulnerability. Second, be discerning about pain. Finally, my 3rd point is stay connected to the true vine. Then how can you, as the branches, stay connected to the true vine? I'd like to share with you 3 applications. Number 1, intentionally set aside time to rest, renew, and recharge. It is also called sacred self-care. In the case of Elijah, especially in 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning, he was forced to flee for his life and eventually arrived at where? The wilderness. In the Bible, the wilderness generally refers to a physical place of uncultivated, dangerous land. However, it also signifies as a spiritual setting for testing, divine encounter, and transformation. We remember the Israelites under the leadership of Moses, later Joshua, were wandering around for how many years? 40 years in the wilderness. Moreover, Jesus was tested in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So rather than a place of hopeless abandonment, wilderness is a purposeful classroom where ordinary comforts are stripped away so people can learn total dependence on God. Moreover, Jesus intentionally went to a remote and solitary place to pray for strength. And many other biblical characters also chose to go to the wilderness to encounter God. For Elijah, it might be his last resort to overcome or to express his agony and his fears. Nevertheless, God made the wilderness experience as Elijah's classroom to learn about how God trains him for his next mission. In order to sustain our relationship with God, we must connect it. We must keep connected to the true vine, Christ Jesus. We must remember that we are chosen by Jesus, not vice versa. This is huge. This is important. Verse 16 from the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Christ chose you and Christ appointed you to go and bear fruit. Yes, each and every one of you is a Christ-chosen disciple who is called to bear fruit. That's why, in order to stay connected to the true vine, you must intentionally set aside time to rest, renew, and recharge so that you can experience God in your own wilderness setting. We can also call this practice or discipline as self-care. In our Christian context, we call this as spiritual self-care or sacred self-care. But in reality, this self-care is for our whole being. About a year ago, I was invited by the Reverend Susan Yeagerson of then Corona UMC to be a guest pastor for her special Lenten Bible study video project on the topic of self-care. Interestingly, look at this picture. The video was recorded here, right here in this sanctuary, as you can see in this photo. Anyhow, at that time, her study resource book was Sacred Self-Care, Daily Practices for Nurturing our Whole Selves, written by Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes, a clinical psychologist and professor of practical theology and pastoral care of Columbia Theological Seminary. Dr. Walker Barnes argues that because humans are created in the image of God, taking care of one's mind, body, and spirit is a fundamental act of stewardship over a divine gift of life. In her book, the author writes, quote, "Sacred self-care is about wellness, that is, maximizing our spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, financial, and vocational health and well-being. We do this both for our own sake and so that we might sustain our vitality as agents of God's mission of justice, mercy, and peace in the world." Unquote. Yes, your sacred self-care shapes and strengthens your life, your leadership, and congregation, and your community, and ultimately, the world we share together. Number two, draw your love, joy, and strength from Christ by abiding in Him. Replenishment. Today, humanity has advanced to super knowledge and super information, and the search for better and faster efforts seem to be endless and limitless. There are simply too many books to read and too much information and news to catch up for any average ordinary person throughout lifetime. So we are so overwhelmed by too much information and too much knowledge out there that discernment is absolutely needed. In this sense, at least in our everyday life, where would you draw your energy, strength, especially spiritual power from? Again, John 15:5 is a profound reminder for all of us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much, what? Fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, we know the answer is by abiding in Christ. In verse 9, Jesus clearly commands us, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abiding in Christ to make you not only to love, grow, and thrive, but also to bear fruit and beyond. The key word here is replenishment, replenishment, replenishment. By abiding in Christ, especially through your intentional Bible study, Bible reading, active prayer life, and practicing many other means of grace, you can stay connected to the true vine. Furthermore, having emphasized, abide in my love, Jesus also proclaims this important point in verse 11. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Yes, you can be joyful in Christ and through Christ. And I believe that this being joyful would be one of the most important reasons why we need to stay connected to the true vine. The Christian life is meant to be truly joyful. And this ultimate and complete joy only comes to you from God through staying connected to Christ Jesus. Number 3, remember and celebrate and that your community of faith has your back always. Belonging. You're not alone. As you remember, the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States officially ran from January 2020 to May 2023. It was one of the most horrifying and devastating global crises that affected everyone on this earth, including you and me, along with all other churches nationwide and worldwide. Our church campus had to be shut down because we could not congregate in person. However, by the grace of God, we were able to connect to God and to one another via online worship services, Zoom meetings, and many other virtual activities. And despite the crisis and the restrictions, we were able to reach out and help to the community and the congregation in every creative way we could. Thank God, and thanks to all, to you all, the whole congregation, even though we were apart, we were able to connect to one another in spirit via online communications and other venues and community events. We truly long for connections and relationships through God's love. And now we realize more than ever how blessed and how awesome it is to gather together in person so that we can be connected as a loving community of faith. Yes, you belong to God and you belong to one another in your church family through Christ. We, the branches, are all connected not only to the true vine, but also to all other fellow branches as well. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Apostle Paul proclaims. So even though we are different and many, we are one body in Christ. Yes, individually we are members one of another. As one body in Christ, we are mandated to love one another. That's verse 10 from John. Jesus commands us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I know that you are blessed to have wonderful church friends. That's good. And you might have very close and very reliable friends. That's better. That's not all. You must realize that you have the whole congregation, the whole community that has your back all the time. That's the best when you belong to a community of faith and love. This realization and assurance can help you stay connected to the true vine. My sisters and brothers in Christ, before I conclude my sermon, Sustaining Fruitful Leadership, Part 3 of 3, I just want to share with you this thought-provoking story. Once there was a man who dared God to speak, "Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collect the words like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Steal the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen." And so the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man, so God answered. God sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. God brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. God stilled a storm, not of the sea, but of a soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited, and he waited, and waited. But because the man was looking at bushes, not heart, bricks, and not lives, seas, and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and asked, "Have you lost your power?" And God looked at him and said, "Have you lost your hearing?" This story is from the book entitled A Gentle Thunder, Hearing God Through the Storm, written by Max Lucado. Through this book, the author calls us to keep on trusting God even in tough times, because today's struggle may be tomorrow's blessing. This man from this story was looking for God, yes, but in wrong places, assuming that God would respond to him in his own ways. No, you cannot possibly comprehend God's will and God's will fully by your own wisdom, own experience, or own calculations. This story serves as a powerful illustration about spiritual blindness and how people often miss God's presence because they are looking for dramatic physical signs rather than internal transformation. My friends in Christ, let us stay connected to the true vine. May you continue to trust God always so that you can sustain fruitfulness, fruitful leadership, and ever fruitful congregation. We still have two more sermons to go, from my sermon series, Bearing Fruit. To be continued. Stay cool and stay blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.